Hey everybody, great episode of the Daily Bone podcast where we discuss all things crypto market. Today we discuss the overnight crypto dump. You're seeing majors like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana experience over 10% dumps while ETFs have outflows for the first time in a little bit. Very interesting market mechanics happening. We also discuss the top upcoming catalysts that could happen for April and go into depth about the NFT market versus the meme coin market and everything in between. A lot of meme coin discussion. The show is brought to you in partnership with Shrapnel. If you're a Bodagos holder, you have until April 11th to claim the legendary in-game skin, which will eventually be tradable on the Shrapnel marketplace. Check out the pinned tweet or the link in the YouTube description. We'll throw the link into this podcast description as well. And be sure to watch for future gameplay and updates in the Shrapnel ecosystem. Shrapnel, of course, the official gaming partner of Bodagos. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, April 2nd. Welcome to the Daily Bone podcast, where we discuss all things crypto market. That includes the majors like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, AVAX, and more. Meme coins like the names that you all know and love. And of course, the NFT market as well. Today, we are going to discuss the overnight crypto dump and what a dump it has been. People are getting scared. I can feel it right now. We're going to discuss the top three upcoming catalysts for April, and we are going to discuss whether or not Base could end up actually becoming the chain for retail. There's a lot of Ethereum folks that seem to think so. This show today is brought to you in partnership with, of course, Shrapnel, the official gaming partner of Bodagos. If you are a Bodagos holder, then you have until April 11th to claim the legendary in-game skin, which will eventually also be tradable, and I know you like that, on the Shrapnel marketplace. Check out the pinned tweet or the link in the YouTube description to receive it. And be sure to watch for future gameplay and other updates from Shrapnel as they prepare for the next training exercise, which we're going to stream in partnership with them. I have my Alienware gaming PC. I'm kicking it with my foot right now. It's set up. It's right next to me right now. I'm going to be ready to stream, ready to kick some ass, realistically ready to shoot easy in the game. Easy, will we be able to play against each other at any time soon?
Yeah, absolutely. You can queue up against each other. So as long as we queue at the same time, they'll put us in the same lobbies, same games. They have had some issues where people are, quote, teaming up. So, I mean, that maybe the Nifty Gang will squad up. Yeah, oh, yeah. There's definitely some nefarious actors.
It's a free-for-all, and there's 10 people in the game, but you and me are like, oh, but we're not going to shoot each other, and we're going to kill other people.
Yeah. So it's usually about 12 people right now per lobby, and they're even kind of trialing some things to see if they can make the map slightly smaller for some of these. But Shrapnel's crushing it, man. It's awesome to see. I think that they're going to continue to innovate on this. Their last STX was great. Played it out at GDC. So extremely excited for the next one.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, I mean, super pumped about that and just really excited to play. Nick?
The fact that you just learned what it means to team up with somebody, it says a lot about you, dude. Like, hey. I feel like That's pretty crazy that you had to like ask what that was, that you know, to collaborate with somebody else in order to win the game. Yeah, I don't know. It says a lot.
Well, it was a dirty cheating move, Nick, because it's a free-for-all and you're not supposed to be collaborating. It would kind of be like if two players on opposing basketball teams made an agreement that they were going to fix the game. But regardless, I'll see you on the battlefield, Nick, and we'll see who gets the better of each other. I think your weapon of choice last time was the shotgun, if I'm not mistaken. That was Nick's key weapon. Easy, am I wrong about that? What was Nick kind of shining with last time?
It was more just like what he would die. Holding was usually a better way to look at it. What he would end the game still with his bags packed as. But yeah, I think he attempted the shotgun.
Very nice. Well, anyway, we're going to dive into this because we have a lot to talk about. Like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about this crypto dump, the top three upcoming catalysts for April, and whether or not Base ends up being the chain for retail. Signal coming in live from what looks like a sauna. Very, very cool setting that Signal has there over there, and love to see the mic set up chilling over there. Can you please take it away with the weather report?
Yeah, I'm going to be bringing heat today, people, because it's Tuesday, April the 2nd. That ETH market volume is coming at 17 million. That Solana market volume coming at 14. If you look at the leaders, it's just down. Everyone, just down. Don't even have to think about it. Cool Counts down to 0.4. CryptoPunks down to 43.9. Pudgies down to 11.8. Over in Solana, we're seeing the same thing. You've got Crypto Undeads also down to 1.6 hole. the heist, that is down to 1.2 as well. Over on Ordinals, they're also suffering as well with Bitcoin Frogs. They're down to 0.08 BTC, and the Bitcoin Puppets, they're also down to 0.22. Could be an interesting entry. Over on the crypto roundup, well, crypto has completely just been destroyed overnight.
As we might have expected, ladies and gentlemen, the sauna area that Signal is in does not have the best internet.
On Monday. Oh, the majors are also...
Tagman!
Nick is going to finish the weather report, ladies and gentlemen. Signal was just talking about the majors in crypto actually pulling back. Signal, the internet is not...
Over on blast. Two multipliers went live that each provide users with a 2x bonus on their current points and future point accrual rate. Users need to interact with the spot DEX and a perp DEX to unlock both of these bonuses. Always confusing. Blast also added wallet link support so that you can navigate on chain with the hot wallet to minimize risk to main wallet funds. Not on this weather report is the claim that we're supposed to make. Pio, did you do that for the
claim? Oh, for Mad Lads.
Yeah, did you do
I
that?
Did do that. Easy. It's wicked
I did
do, easy.
I did. It's done.
Can I still do it?
Yes, you can until April 4th, if I'm not mistaken, right, Easy?
Yeah, do it today, Nick. Like, I would like okay, what I'm you're doing do right I'm... now. Knock out the weather report. Take 2 seconds and just click the two buttons, please.
I'm going to claim Mad Lads. So that's on the calendar.
There you go. That's what that's what crypto requires you to do these days. You have to go and do a little bit of admin. Anyway, please continue, right. Nick.
Synthetic yield staking protocol, Athena, launched their ENA token early this morning with the token sitting at a circulating market cap of $860 million. Athena. My fair lady has been getting getting attention throughout crypto Twitter as it offers a 35% yield on staked ETH, which has many questioning the longevity of the protocol. How long has it been around?
Athena,
I'm not familiar with it. I'm genuinely not familiar, but I mean, we're seeing liquid staking derivatives basically pop up daily at this point.
35.4%. That is a hell of a yield. Do I have to lock it up? Arthur Hayes is an investor, though.
Very interesting. The blockchain sleuth Tardify Whale has warned about unrevealed critical flaws that exist in Athena. So shout out to Tardify Whale for warning us about that.
Signal is back, it looks like. How's your audio sounding?
She's frozen, buddy.
Totally frozen. Never mind.
That would be a hell of a stare down right there.
I see all these commenters being like, oh, no, she's good. Bro, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Look, commenters, this is a frozen signal that we have here on the screen right now. There's nothing. There's no weather report coming
right
from
here.
This is the real one. Here we go. This is a Sig.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm shutting down all. I'm shutting down all apps. I'm cutting the engines. We're only on thrusters, people. We gotta enter. Yeah. We're gonna enter really back into only on thrusters. Let's try.
Yeah, no worries, Sig. We're having fun with what is effectively an AI signal. It's like a test signal to figure out, you know, if it's the real one. Just, you know, kind
of. Can we actually just generate an AI version of Signal? So in case of Wi-Fi issues, we'll just resolve it that way.
Got bounces over here like she definitely just blinked. Bro, that was a frozen solid frame of Signal before. That was not the real Signal. Yeah, that
dude,
Signal doesn't exist.
All the commenters are like shitting on us, being like, just let her finish. Let her finish.
All right. Anyway, those are your updates from the weather report, the updates from the newsletter, which is the Daily Bone. It's emailed to anybody that subscribes at dailybones.com. Hacked Blast Farming Game Munchables. Hilarious that they went with that name. Announces their relaunch plan with funds being returned to customers via an airdrop, additional audits around new smart contracts and massive multipliers on game rewards to incentivize users to return. We will see what the future is of Munchables. I won't be participating. Next story, meme coin Mew, ticker MEW, airdrops 37,600 tokens to each purchaser of the Solana Mobile Chapter 2 phone. Tokens are worth over $200, a current Mew market cap of $530 million. $530 million is just just a before breakfast market cap in the meme coin game these days. Very interesting stuff there in the meme coin ecosystem. Next story, Ninja Alerts. Our buddy Trevor announces a beta release of the new ETH BTC dashboard with Pizza Ninja holders, the Ordinals collection Pizza Ninja holders getting early access. So we will see what comes of Trevor's software product. Last story, multi-chain NFT minting platform Zora announces it generated over $4.3 million in revenue for creators in the month of March. Very interesting stuff there in the NFT ecosystem from Zora. Look, first story we have to talk about. We have to talk about the crypto dump that we are experiencing literally right now. So Bitcoin, when I last checked, had actually dumped all the way down. It's still dumping. South of 65,000. This is ahead of the TradFi markets opening in about 16 minutes. Also saw ETF outflows for the first time in a little bit. Nick, you know, this is a hefty amount of volatility, but what do you make of where we're at? Especially since, if you recall, on Friday when we had Eric Crown on the show, who's been in crypto for, you know, pushing 10 years now and is a successful YouTuber, does a lot of analysis on crypto. He pointed out that in election years previously, which also means the years of the halving cycle for Bitcoin, the halving years, April has been a historically strong month. Are you surprised at this crash? Do you think that we're going to recover? What do you make of what's going on?
Well, I'm unsurprised that when I said, "Easy, does this pattern look like a double top?" he said no, and then it proceeded to dump. So that's unsurprising. Every time I feel like Easy's losing a little bit of his trading edge here. How are you feeling about that, Easy?
I bought more yesterday.
Well, that's what you do when it goes down by like 10%, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry that you lost 10% in 24 hours, Chief. Like, God forbid. It's not like we watched all of these things dump to astronomical lows over the last 24 months. So if you're worried about this, maybe it's time you just get a desk job, Chief.
I appreciate the feedback. That wasn't what I was saying. But
the edge is still edging. We're going higher.
All right. Well, then I like the idea of buying. In terms of this dump, I mean, we're still above where we were, 10 days ago?
Yeah, I mean, people are posting. Everyone's favorite meme, which is like two versions of the same attractive person, attractive actress, and it's like 65K 10 days ago versus 65K today, where one of them is super like hot and the other one is unattractive.
I do like... I don't know about the whole outflows inflows situation. I did take a look at the outflows, we've had other days with that happening. Yesterday's was heavily driven by people exiting GBTC, and it's just not being made up in the others. But IBIT and FBTC, I think, both had net inflows. Oh, yeah. GBTC has just higher fees, so. I don't know that we're actually necessarily seeing anything particularly negative here as it applies to the technicals. I think like we're in a consolidation phase because we've seen such huge runs. If we look at the daily, which I can pull up.
Absolutely, pull it up.
I'm going to pull it up here.
And look, I'm not exactly James Safer, but I have some things to come to discuss when it comes to the ETF, but please go ahead.
What your ongoing high conviction in the ETF, even though everyone's saying it's a 30% chance for me?
No, I was going to talk about Bitcoin ETFs.
We're also overlooking why this dump may have happened. They basically said that there's not going to be a rate cut at the next FOMC. The percentage chance of a rate cut basically went down to zero over the weekend and was shared on Monday, which leads to overall market dynamics to push down. Like, a rate cut obviously is bullish for the overall market. Non-cut is relatively, I guess, bearish or even just stagnant. So like when you look at that from traditional finance, it's risk off if they're not cutting rates, because that means that they don't think inflation is where it needs to be. So that's something to consider.
Look at this run on the S&P. Hell of a chart. I like that. I don't know. Also, DXY has been on an absolute tear as of recently, which is pretty, hasn't really had a major impact. and hasn't been relevant for, I don't know, weeks, whatever it is. But look, we were previously, this was February 11th. We were hovering down at 47,800 for Bitcoin, ran up to literally over 70,000. So like things are looking still very good on Bitcoin itself. We had a wide Bollinger Band and it's consolidating. I mean, there is nothing wrong on the technicals at this point in time. This is just, it looks like classic consolidation. And that's actually a really positive thing. I also saw there was another data point as well, which was where Coinbase is on the rankings. And it was like down to like 65 or like 85 or something like that. And I was like, let's fucking go.
Bullish like, pullback on the app downloads for sure.
Dude, that's what I'm looking for on that front. So we'll see where things land on all of this. But yeah, I mean, this is great. I like the pullbacks for, what do we call it? Pullbacks are good times for adding to your bag. I'll probably add some as well. I have a decent amount of cash. And been thinking about where to enter.
What are you looking at, Nick? What are you looking to buy?
I mean, dude, I'm basic, man. Bitcoin, Solana. Like, that's where I'm just operating at this point in time.
No mention of ETH?
ETH. Yeah, I guess I'll have a little bit of ETH. Not a bad idea. What are CryptoPunks at? I heard that. That was painful to hear.
43.9.
So 145,000 is the floor.
So we will get to the NFT section of the market just to kind of touch base on this pullback and talk a little bit about the ETFs like Nick brought up. Some of the factors that Nick brought up are 100% accurate. So for example, there's been continued outflows from the GBTC ETF because of how high those fees are. Those fees are saving Grayscale's business right now. I believe that those fees are a very big factor in what has allowed them to basically make the Gemini Earn customers whole, allegedly. There's a ruling on that in 2 weeks in bankruptcy court. And those GBTC fees are basically keeping Grayscale alive. We went through multiple weeks, and keep in mind, I am not James Seyfert. I am not a Bloomberg ETF analyst, but I've been paying attention to this stuff, so I have a little bit of detail here. You know, we kind of got used to $500 million in inflows into the different ETFs every day, with IBIT definitely leading the way. Right now, we're on the precipice of the approval of several new ETFs, including one from Morgan Stanley. So several other TradFi institutions have seen the strength of the ETFs, and rather than pushing back, rather than not participating, they've essentially decided that they want to try to get in the mix with ETFs. So we could actually see some new ETFs approved in what I understand to be the next 4 to 8 weeks. Easy pointed out that the percentage likelihood of a rate cut coming up from the Federal Reserve has basically gone to zero. So a correction makes a lot of sense here. Alex Becker, a big-time YouTuber that makes a lot of crypto content, he pointed out that he believes that $70,000, the previous all-time high, is going to be a real battleground because all of the kind of trader folks are up, you know, 2x, 3x, 4x. They've also maybe participated in some other pockets of the crypto market like meme coins and done quite well there. So he expects a lot of pressure here to the downside at 70K and around 70K. And we've kind of seen it. We just can't break above like 72, 73K. So that's pretty interesting. People have been expecting GBTC outflows for the past week, at least for another few weeks. So I don't think that that's going to change. And last thing is TradFi is by no means all the way in here. Obviously, there's been crazy inflows to the ETFs, but we're really just getting started. Anthony Scaramucci actually went on Anthony Pompliano's podcast recently, and he talked about how he went from people saying that his clients were saying, thank you for leading us into the future when he got into Bitcoin last cycle, to you're the worst guy ever when the FTX debacle happened, Bitcoin crashed below previous all-time high all the way down to 16K, back to you're all right because Bitcoin's going up, but we don't like the volatility. Traditional finance investors just flat out do not like Bitcoin's volatility. They haven't gotten used to stomaching it yet. Whereas if you talk to Ram Ahluwalia of Lumina Wealth, or you talk to Joe McCann of Asymmetric, they'll say the vol associated with these assets is actually the best part, because you get the upside and you get the opportunity to get back in on the downside. So a lot of different stuff happening here. If we switch from the majors to meme coins, we've seen Ansem, big time crypto Twitter influencer with an interesting lifestyle, pointing out that a cat meme coin, which represents his cat, Hobbs, did a 2.5x more daily volume than the entire NFT market, which quite frankly, given how low NFT volumes are right now, I'm not that surprised. And then meme coins in general saw a 10 to 15% haircut across the board. I'd love to hear from everybody about what they think about the meme coin side of the market. We just came off of a white hot meme coin mini cycle where meme coins were basically the most interesting thing in the entire crypto market. We went down to Miami and we talked to somebody that's in the industry, that's a whale. And his quote was that all founders of crypto projects are just trading meme coins right now. So it was kind of a weird, call it 6 week period. But yeah, I mean, maybe we could start with Nick. Nick, you've participated in meme coins a tiny bit. You've kind of been around the block of crypto buying Bitcoin since like 13 years ago, or maybe a little bit less than that, over a decade.
Before you were born, yeah.
There you go. What do you make of what's going on with meme coins?
I mean, people are trading them in terms of...
Come on now. Dude, they're insane right now. Like, right, like Base and Blast are... like, look at DeFi Llama. Base and Blast are both all-time high TVL right now. And that just shows how much liquidity is pivoting from other ecosystems. Dude, Base has just had multiple OG ETH founders drop shitcoins on there, from Poopy to Capsule House to even MFers, obviously tailing the MFer playbook. MFers rallied. The Poop token basically is already trending down to zero. Anime front ran the Azuki token on Base. It's just like you had kind of said, Pio, that like it seems it may have cooled off. I don't think it cooled off at all. I think it's just off of some of the majors. Like Solana meme coins still sending. You look at some of the overall market, Dog with Hat over $4. Even Boba Opa, if you did that pre-sale, you're now in the green. You are now net positive if you just held that position.
I bought you like, down. So.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, I don't think meme coins are going anywhere, and I think we're going to continue to see a pivot around it. OSF had a good tweet yesterday where he was basically like, if you have $1 in this market, you can gamble on meme coins. Base gas fees are 5 cents, Solana's a penny, and Blast is 3 cents, 7 cents. So like the only tough part is getting users to those chains. But overall, like meme coin season is still absolutely sending.
Have you actually had success with meme coins this cycle, Easy? Like what has been your biggest win on the meme coin front?
Shroom was probably my biggest. I made $20,000 on Shroom. I did a pre-sale for Future, which just finally got airdropped. I thought I basically got rugged. It was 14 days from when I did the pre-sale. That made me 15 grand last night. So like those pre-sales have been net positive. I just started a smaller wallet to just trade on pump.fun, which is like it's like micro caps. These tokens are sub 50K market cap.
This is what Franklin has been talking about.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mess around with it and see what could happen. So I threw 3 SOL in, a little over $500, and was like, let's see what damage we can do. Yesterday, I ran it up to like 7.8 SOL. I'm currently sitting at 6.5 on it. But it's more just like I want to see what people are trading and where people are like navigating and how like a small bankroll would get active in this market and what's positive. I certainly have lost money on meme coins too. Like I've made some terrible trades. I bought the wrong.
What's been your biggest the biggest error? What's one that you wish you could take back?
Oh man, at first I thought it was going to be Boba Opa because I was down like 37 SOL on that. Like I threw 50 in it at the end of the day.
It wasn't exactly a hot start with that one.
Yeah, no, but I was just like, fuck it. Like I'll just, this is an ugly 5-year tax write-off at this point for capital losses. But now it's in the green. I haven't sold any of it. So that one ended up working out somehow. But I think my worst probably trade was, oh man, I want to say I bought MFR really late, which was really bad. Bohm, I bought Bohm near the top, which I ended up just bag holding down. It's not like terribly, but I did go in with like 10 grand on that, and it's now worth three.
And what's so, like, making you get into these late? Because, you know, for example, Bohm, I know it was a meteoric rise. It was a very short time period from when it released to when it reached its all-time high. It was actually a Bored Ape Pepe-esque W in an extremely short period of time. But I'd imagine you were probably aware of it fairly early, right?
I saw it the night before and was like, I'll just see where it is in the morning. I don't want to chase here. Like, it's like 2 a.m. I'm just tired. And that was kind of my issue, was like, I got in late and then messed up, because originally when I got in the morning, I think I made like a 3x and then double dipped. It's like the double dipping that ends up burning me, where like I think it's going to go higher after I've already taken profit. So like, if I could just stop doing that, I'd be in a much better situation. Like even Mog, I made a 2x on and then decided to get back in and it trended down and I sold at a loss. So like, that's been my biggest struggle. And I think I wish I could just blacklist my wallet from buying a token a second time. And I think I'd be in a much better situation, because that's where literally I always burn myself.
Yeah. I've made money on the second buys. It's difficult. The biggest thing is like, or you just need to set what your range is that you're going for. So like, I was discussing this with PO yesterday, which is just like, you pretty much need to buy in at X range that you're targeting and exit at, you know, Y range that you're making commitment to. Because really, like, the run that everyone is looking for right now seems to be like sub 10 million up to 150, 250 million, basically. And then in some rare cases, you're looking for that billion breakout. So you keep some level of capital in there after you've sold out at your, you're getting at least 10x on your buys. And if you can operate on that level, 10x's make up for a lot of losses, but you need to be in there. And the
capital management too, though, it's like a 10x, yes, but it's also like, you can't be throwing 30-40% of your bankroll at every trade. No. It's like, you got to go in at 5%, which makes you 50% of your bag on a 10x.
5% is so much.
But I'm saying of your meme coin allocation. So like, okay, if your meme coin allocation is 10% of your bag, total bag, and you're taking 5% of that, you're looking at 0.5%. You know what I mean? Like, or 0.05%, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot.
The amount I was thinking is approximately somewhere in the like, well, I was talking with, we were at a lunch with a guy who gave me a good tip, and I made money on his token. Honk was one that was hot for a minute, and I did well with that. And I was like, how much are you putting in on each of these? And he said 10 grand. But for him, I guess 10 grand is, you know, whatever percentage, but on something like, it's crazy, because if he was making 10x on Honk, he then made, you know, 100 grand on that particular trade. There's been a lot of opportunities for that sort of return. The people that are posting their portfolios on Twitter that you end up seeing are basically people that bought in low and just have held to some of these billion-dollar market caps. And end up making a couple $1 million is really like the, and they're holding 100% of their bag. They're not selling any of it.
They're gambling. Fully gambling. The other thing that you brought up that like, I want to iterate on here too, was you had mentioned like that 10 million plus market cap range, which like, it really depends on that sub 10 to 150. But even then, like the lower market cap that you're getting in, the more risky it is. Like if you're getting in at 100K market cap, there's inherently way more risk than getting into something that's at a 2 or 3 million, purely because of the liquidity on the token. So like there's bigger risk reward on it. But like if you're looking for like a 60K market cap, like that's where you see a lot of these people who have made like ridiculous gains. But ask those same people, and this is more for like the audience, ask those same people how many of those 60K market caps have speed run to zero.
Yeah, but also
that's like,
yeah, no. Also, I wanted to add, like, you know, Nick, this is something you say quite frequently, is that on the NFT side of things, you'd get that big win every 3 months. So like every 3 months, you'd have that cadence of like, whether that was Azuki coming out and running up or any of the collections that we know. The interesting fun part about the meme coins that I really like is that frequency of reward is now much, much faster. So I'm not looking to have to wait 3 months to get the next Bohm. The next Bohm actually happened probably within the next 7 to 10 days. And so you're way more likely to be able to actually get that 100x out the gate if you're in the trenches, rather than having to wait 3 months. And I think that's like that liquidity on the meme coin side makes it far more interesting than on the NFT side. Although we are seeing, you know, high sort of like higher rewards, if you like, higher frequency of rewards on ordinals right now. So it does depend where you're trading NFTs as well.
So yes, the frequency is one thing. The thing that Easy was talking about is, one sub, whatever, are higher risk. Yes, they are. The biggest thing, though, that I've seen is, oh my God, and I'm looking at my whiff trades. This is awful.
But I mean, it's hard to tell, Nick. Like Easy was pointing out, the lower the market cap, the more risk there is. Fun fact, quickly, this is how, like, you know, the big players in finance view Bitcoin. People would rather buy it above a trillion market cap versus below. But anyway, please go ahead.
Well, the thing I was going to say is there's a distinction, though. It's not just pure market cap. It's also like buzz on the timeline that you're looking for in terms of like it. As far as I'm concerned, it's really influencer spotting. Because there's a lot of people who are like Beanie. Beanie's been actively pumping coins recently. Like he's
been pumping
out
coins for months. Yeah. Pumping Say, if you recall.
Yeah. And he's just so focused on like re-emphasizing that. Like Nub was one he kept mentioning. It's now down significantly. Like it's down over 50% from where it ran up to. And he kept all he mentions is the buys. He's not mentioning the sells. And so like it's his whole approach appears to be literally him actively pumping and dumping some of these tokens at this point in time.
It's not new. So,
not for him. But yeah, that's the there's other people who I pay attention to who end up really getting into some token that they're excited. Like Daniel's got hits. He's the one that got me into Whiff.
He loves Whiff.
And that was like back in, I'm looking at my trades here for when that was. It was back in, I bought Whiff December 16th. Which was,
it was a while ago, bro. Wow.
Yeah. So that's Whiff was at, on that at that point, 3 cents. It's now 376.
That's crazy. That's wild. Wow.
So that's a 125x. Had I still stayed in?
Yeah.
I was simply like, if you look at the chart during that time, though, it's this crazy steep curve, and so I'm just like, I bought and sold, bought back in, sold again for a gain. Bought back in, added some more. It was pretty much flat. I ended up just selling because I waited till from basically December 25th to February 1st. There was like nothing. It was basically flat. There were a couple of runs. I bought back in a little bit higher. It pulled back. But all of the gains, it became explosive February 26th. That's what. So you had to wait from December to 3 months signal for Whiff to break out. So the real thing, your best thing here is get the ones that are cheap that seem like they have a little bit of buzz, put a small amount in and hope those suckers run in the next like 3 months. But on the day-to-day volatility, if it goes down 50%, just suck it up. Just let it sit there. Like maybe Nub ends up being something 2 months from now. You have no idea, and you don't know where those narratives are going to come from. You don't know the person who's going to end up buying and talking about it. There was a reason that you bought it at a moment in time. Basically, you just got to like hold on to those things. I mean, I think the same thing happened with like Jupe, pretty much, which is not a meme coin. It's actually a utility token. But like that's since like 3x, 4x, basically.
4x, clean 4x from its lows. And that was, I mean, to be honest, dude, the people who were calling it to make a Uniswap-like move, they hit the nail on the head. It consolidated for 2 months, made the high, and is now breaking out with speed, especially on the fact that, like, Jupe is a swap. Meme coins on Solana are seeing all-time high volume. Dude, I saw a chart yesterday that said Solana fees are about to flip Ethereum fees. And crazy. Think about what that means. When a fee on Solana is a hundredth of a penny, how many transactions are going down to make it flip the chain that has $100 gas fees.
I like that statistic, I'll tell you that. And that's about as clean of a narrative for when as you can possibly get. Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to have to see what happens with meme coins. One thing that is for certain, if you are just dumping money from meme coin to meme coin, like Nick was kind of pointing out, trying to play the day-to-day volatility, the one certainty is that you won't get rich. Otherwise, everybody, the thousands, tens of thousands of wallets that have been trading would effectively be getting rich. And it's very, very difficult, like Nick was pointing out. It's very, very, very difficult to identify which meme coins, which tokens will essentially become a major, essentially become a blue chip, become a bonk, become a dog with hat, become a bored ape from the previous NFT cycle. Nick?
If you look at Solana right now, the TVL is somewhere around 4.5 billion, something like that. The all-time high is 9.9 billion, almost 10 billion. So we're still off of like the all-time activity on this chain. I just think like in this space, like looking at the CryptoPunks, for example, which went down to like 50,000, current floor 150,000, went up to like 225,000, 250,000, has pulled back since. Ultimately, like you got to just place your bets and like experience the volatility in this space. Like that's pretty much the move. And the same thing goes on the meme coin side. Like, if you see, I mean, there's so many Pepe people I remember that would be in there. Those dips have been brutal. The meme coin dips, you go down 80, 90%. Like that's like the reality with these things. The NFTs, you get, I think, slightly less. If I'm gonna be honest, if you're down 90% on NFTs, it is way harder to
Well, you don't have liquidity with the NFTs. Nobody's gonna buy the damn thing.
Yeah, so it is much more difficult dealing on the NFT side, but like from trading NFTs, 50%, 60% drops, that is a reasonable thing. I guess in the case of Bored Ape, if you bought at the top, you're just like completely kind of fucked. You're down 90%. But I think this is like the name of the game in crypto. If you're buying derivative assets of crypto, you're going, including crypto itself, which will go down 90%. You pretty much like need to be able to tolerate that level of volatility. It's as extreme as it gets. And that's the name of the game with meme coins. Everyone that's made it to the top in this space that I'm seeing tweeting right now, talking about how much they made on meme coins, all of it came from them diamond handing, dog whiff hat, mog,
bonk. And aggressively buying the dips. Like they're like, oh, it's down 50%. I believe in this damn thing. Deploying more capital. And it's like, oh, wow, you're actually a psychopath. Like, you are full-blown. You've lost it. Congrats. There's $2 million for you for just going off the deep end. And it's impressive. That's definitely one of my issues. It's like, I'm comfortable taking consistent 30 to 50% wins versus diamond handing for a 10,000x, which, like, I guess I just don't have the patience for.
So if someone mentioned this, and I think it is valid right now to bring up, is like the NFT side of this. The thing I've been thinking about much more is more the 404 token equivalent being the play associated with this. That's one where it's not as like, that's not an airdrop. I feel like there's a valid way to say it's not a security in this, basically, where you can
confirm. I think there's like more of an argument that it is a security because it's hyper liquid. Really? Yeah, because it's fungible. Like, it's making NFTs basically fungible.
But I was chatting with somebody before, like, basically, if you don't do a token sale, then don't know that it is. The thing that is interesting that somebody was mentioning, I remember when the 404 stuff was brought up, there's like a CTO Larson YouTube channel. This guy, who just likes talking technical analysis stuff. And he had talked about 404s on ETH, I think, originally. And he was pointing out basically how, like, the beauty of the 404s is that if you trade the token itself, not the NFTs, both are tokens, I guess, technically, the fungible token, the 404, or the ERC-20, what you end up doing is reducing the supply of the NFT. because you need to get the whole whatever amount. Call it, let's call it 100,000 is your conversion rate of fungible to non-fungible token. If that gets split up, then it's very difficult to get back to that total amount. And so you end up having a sort of like deflationary supply on the NFTs. Anyways, there were some interesting elements of these tokens. I like that way more than I like, because what you've done is you've given people the ability to trade a fungible token. So you give more accessibility, but you don't increase the total supply of your entire ecosystem. Instead, what you've converted is one NFT into some level of fungibility, or like into the fungible equivalent, but you haven't actually increased total supply. I love that approach personally. And I feel like what we're going to see is a lot more of it, as we see a lot of NFT founders who have experienced what it's like to launch tokens and everyone fucking complain when price go down, what it's like to deal with that sort of ecosystem. They're hesitant.
I've been yelling about the 404s for a minute now. Like, I've been saying, I'm a big fan of them. On ETH and Sol, you have SPL 22s and SPL 404s as well, which, like, that's more inherently more interesting than the ETH ones to me because of the fees associated. Like, on ETH with 404s, there's still gas fees on every swap. Mm-hmm. On Sol, there's not. So it's, like, truly way more frictionless. There's some other interesting dynamics that I've talked to a few founders of projects that they're working through, where, like, there's true on-chain randomization when you swap the token back in to get a new PFP, which opens up, like, loot box models, gamification, chasing rares. And from a founder's perspective, it could be theoretically a net revenue generating opportunity when there's token taxes and royalties. So now every time the tokens are bought and sold as well, there's a revenue generating opportunity for the business. There's a lot of, like, really interesting dynamics. And I think that this is where we're going to end up seeing more from the NFT space, is that 404 meta and just that entire narrative shift from a protocol level because of what it can open up and actually allow for from, like, the NFT side. Like, I even think of it too as, like, imagine if Dog with Hat, the tokens could be swapped into a PFP. The timeline would be littered with Dog with Hat PFPs, or Pepe too. Like, the amount of people that would be rocking the shit out of that, or, like, using the ones they bought and, like, trying to swap to get a gold Pepe, or, you know what I mean, like a rare one to PFP, and you know that that's equivalent to the token, is really interesting to me. Because meme coins, no one complains when someone shills the hell out of a meme coin, but when you're working for your NFT bags, people complain sometimes, like, oh, you're just shilling your bags. Meme coins are, like, a totally different narrative. And that's where I'm like, if 404s take off in the right way, you're going to see meme coin PFPs. And that's wicked, wicked interesting to me. Like, dude, you know, Daniel Got Hits would be rocking a Dog with Hat PFP if you could swap Whiff into an NFT and not lose value on the token. That's the big thing.
Well, I don't think you do. I mean, it's really just a bridge, right?
That's like, it. Not even a bridge. It's truly a swap where it, like, bundles them. So it'd be like 10,000 Whiff equals the PFP. It's based on, like, total token supply to get, like, a 10K supply if you burned all of them. But, like, it's a really, really cool technology.
Well, I like that dynamic. If there's something, like, I've been thinking a lot about, it is that sort of approach. I think that we will see, there's all these people that say drop a meme coin, but it's like, I even saw Wizard of Soho.
Yeah, so Thread Guy posted a tweet, and Clemente is on the road, ladies and gentlemen, so he won't be able to be functioning as the producer and, like, show the tweet. But there was a tweet yesterday from Thread Guy. The message of Thread Guy's tweet was, isn't this what NFTs are supposed to be? They're supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be people making money. So isn't the natural thing to introduce a meme coin for your NFT collection? Isn't that the natural product to drive the collection to? And then Wizard of Soho weighed in and said, well, what happens the other 364 days of the year when the price goes down? And then I saw Nick weigh in and say, bingo. Because it's true. So right here, yeah. So there you go.
Figure out how to dangle a new golden carrot, and I'm like, welcome to the world of managing tokens. is literally that. And I'm like, dude, everyone like that talks about doing these things has no consideration for, like, it's the most self-interested position that all these investors have, where they're like, give me a token that gives me liquidity immediately, make it pump for 24 hours. So
I'll sell it.
And then you go figure out what the fuck to do with that token for the rest of your life, basically. Like, figure out, you go handle that situation. It's the most insulting thing that these investors can say, basically, because they're like, I don't give a fuck what you have, what your life is
like. Your business is fucking nothing. All it's like, on the planet for is to give me a meme coin that I can sell one time and then I'll never think about it again.
Yeah, and then go make funny videos, you dancing monkey. Like, that's what they're thinking in my mind. So, like, it's like, okay, like, what, like, get the hell out of here. But yeah, I think Wizard of Soho was
on the money.
One of his, like, most reasonable takes on these things. And it's just like, dude, you dropping a token, I will say, I think there is a path where a token makes sense. But like, what's ApeCoin at right now, for example? That's one that it did go on an initial pump. I feel like even up to like $2 at some point.
$1.73, down 10% in the past 24 hours.
$1.73 ain't too bad because it was sub a dollar and now it's come up to $1.70. But yeah, that was another one that I've been looking at, which is like, what do you do with this? It went up to like 240, and now it's almost fully retracing back to where it was like in January. Oh, that one's looking ugly.
ApeCoin, I don't think ApeCoin's a good example because ApeCoin's been dropped with expectations of utility within the Yuga Labs universe, where, you know, people were looking for sinks in different places that it can be actually used. They're still obviously, you know, figuring out how that coin will be used. Everything else we've been talked about is just some meme coin or fun or culture, whatever happens to it. And I think like the fact that there's no expectations of any of this stuff except price go up is what is making all of this fun. Like, you saw Poopy drop a coin, and I actually thought it was a good thing that he's not associated with Doodles anymore, because then that coin can just have its own price discovery without having to rely on what is Doodles building. So I actually think that's a good thing. And I thought the MFO one was a good one as well, because that's a collection where it's just been all vibes. But like, if, I don't know, Clone X were to drop one, I think that would probably go in the direction of zero, because there's just so much expectation around the project already. Exactly, because there's so much expectation around the project which hasn't been delivered today. And then that anticipation expectation would just be mirrored in the token.
Right. The reason I brought up Ape was not because I think it's a meme token, but here's the chart of Poop, which again, I mean, still has a $6.1 million market cap, which is pretty crazy. But like, the thing I was gonna say is dealing with the token is what I'm sort of associating with it. But you seem to think that like it doesn't matter if it goes to zero.
Well, hold on. But the thing is Signal brought up this token by Poopy, who happened to found Doodles, but isn't even involved anymore. And then brought up the MFR token by the anonymous Sartoshi. The common thread there is neither of those guys give a shit about this token at all. And it's totally fine for it to go to zero. They don't care. They'll drop another one in a couple. It doesn't fucking matter.
Two different narratives for these guys, though, PO. Two totally different narratives. Both may not give a shit, but Sartoshi and MFRs have understood that Sartoshi is not giving.
Yeah, I'm not talking about what happens. I'm talking about Sartoshi is not going to lose any sleep at all if the token goes down. And keep in mind, by the way, this is what MFR is, one of the meme coins that I traded and had profits on. So I have no ill will towards the token. I bought it at one of those small green candles and sold it at one of the huge green candles. So it was fine. It was good. I'm just pointing out there's a difference between. So, yeah, there you go. I'm pointing it out because it's just totally different than if CanPy Pandas puts out a token.
They have a
totally
token.
Totally different.
They have a token.
A liquid token?
Yeah, Rainy. They acquired a gaming studio called Rainium, and that's now underneath the CanPy umbrella.
Okay, they acquired something that already existed.
But IcePax has tweeted about that he won't drop a token because they have one in the ecosystem. And I think that's alpha in my opinion, because a lot of people are sleeping on that. But the thing with the MFR token here, and I apologize to cut you off, that Sartoshi dropped it unexpectedly. And that was the big win, where then you have the anime token from Capsule House, which is basically only trended down. The Poop token from Poopy, which is basically only trended down because of the fact that these founders, it seems like they were riding coattails on the base hype, where Sartoshi came in with no narrative, was like, here you go, and had a long form post about it that ended up causing this action that got people excited, where they were like, oh shit, okay, this is a win. versus some of the others who now it seems like, oh, you don't know what to do and you're trying to save face. Now you're going to drop a token. Like, narrative is probably the biggest thing when it comes to tokens. And a good narrative is all it needs to run.
I know. I wasn't talking about the action of the price of the token once it's in the world, because any token can pick up any narrative like you're pointing out and it can explode. I was talking about the dynamic of that token in relation to the person that puts it out. And Satoshi does not give a rat's ass about what that token does. It doesn't matter. There's no business at it. It just doesn't matter. There's a big difference between that and if, like, you know, someone that has a business puts out a token. Nick?
I get hate messages about a token that I didn't even drop. So any of these people saying that it doesn't matter, like, it's just not the case. It's suddenly your sole job is to go and make price go up of the thing that I somehow mistakenly thought that you're responsible for. I got a guy, Scaly Nelson, this guy who's a crypto punk, tweeting angrily at me because he's seen a couple of videos and someone else posted about the one of the fucking tokens that someone associated with me without my permission, without any message to me whatsoever, that it's my fucking responsibility to deal with that stuff. Imagine if we actually launched a token. So anyone that claims that, oh, everyone's just having fun, you've never dealt with it. Literally. Like, everyone's completely wrong that says it's just fun. You think Poopies with that chart is just getting 100% people being like, oh yeah, you were just having fun. No, they're like, yo, bro, why the fuck is the token down so much? That's what all of them are getting. So, like, for MF-er, that guy is one guy that can sleep well at night because he's fully anonymous, has no reputation that he gives a shit about, has already repeatedly rugged. So you know what the end point is of it. So at the end of the day, like, getting these messages from people that for tokens that you're not even affiliated with, I'm not adding additional, like, anything that we do within our own ecosystem is thought out extensively, basically. Someone I was chatting with last night was like, wow, you really, like, think through these things. And I'm like, yeah. What? Like, what the hell?
It's our whole business life. What do you think? We're just willy-nilly flinging shit around?
What are you doing with your... It's also interesting. Like, I do appreciate there's been people who give us, like, ideas from the community. You should do X. You should do Y. All those people disappear when the price goes up of one of the tokens. Like, it doesn't matter. They're instead trying to show up when... Which I do appreciate, showing up when things are down. But what they're expecting is like, oh, y'all, like, it's there's perception if something's not released on a specific day that y'all are doing nothing, basically. But no, it just, like, takes time for these things to materialize. I was even listening to the Pudgy Penguin call the other day, and Luca was asking the community, he was like, what do you guys think we should be doing to prepare for bull market season, right? Like, submit your comments, whatever. He doesn't let them on stage with that, which I appreciate. But yeah, it was, it's been pretty, anyways, the bottom line is, if you end up launching a meme coin, there is going to be a group of people that get wrecked by the whales, by someone else, because it's PvP. And so there's winners and there's losers, and the losers are going to hate you. So that's something that you have to deal with when it comes to those tokens.
Real quick, Clemente sent me the tweet. Clemente's still on it, even though he's like probably literally boarding a plane right now or something. He sent me the tweet of Scaly Nelson. The guy said that he's going to call Gary Gensler on you, Nick. So he's going to call Gary Gensler about something that you had absolutely nothing to do with. And that's going to be at the top of Gary Gensler's desk. And you're going down, buddy. I'll see you behind bars. We'll make content from a jail cell.
Yeah, I have no idea. The only token we've talked about is Bodagos, okay? That's pretty much it. Well, I guess the portal as well, but yes, those are the
That is the ecosystem. That's the token ecosystem. Don't expect a meme coin. And no matter how many investors say, drop a meme coin so I can sell it and then never think about your little business again and dance like a monkey. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you in partnership with Shrapnel. If you want to talk about a badass ecosystem, that's Shrapnel, the official gaming partner of Bodagos. I got an Alienware computer right here at my foot, no big deal, that I'm going to be using to use shotguns and Shrapnel to blast MFers. No big deal. If you are a Bodagos holder, you have until April 11th to claim the legendary in-game skin, which will also eventually be tradable on the Shrapnel marketplace. I don't know if you heard that, but you have until April 11th, that's 9 more days, to claim the legendary in-game skin that you can only get if you're a Bodagos holder, and that's eventually going to be tradable on the Shrapnel marketplace. So check out the pinned tweet or the link in the YouTube description to receive it. Be sure to watch for future gameplay and updates from Shrapnel as they prepare for the next training exercise, which we're going to be streaming in partnership with them. You're going to see some slick skills from Easy, from Nick, and of course from myself. I'm going to be blowing people's heads off. Anyway, this week is NFT NYC week, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in New York, say what up if you see us. If you see Nick on the street, you can try to get close to him, but you know, it might not work. Anyway, our event is on Thursday. I believe it's starting at 5 p.m. if I'm not mistaken. 5 p.m.
5:30.
5:30 p.m. on Thursday. Somewhere Nowhere is the name of the venue. You have to be on the list. We ran something in the Discord for Bodagos, but it's going to be a really fun event. Hope to see you guys there. We do this show Monday through Friday. This is the Daily Bone podcast where we discuss all things crypto ecosystem. Show's available on YouTube for video. If you enjoy watching the show, you should totally check it out on YouTube. Like and subscribe there. Of course, it's also streamed to X platform, every crypto person's favorite platform. So you can catch the video on X platform on my account and on the Nifty account. It's also available on Apple and Spotify podcasts. If you'd like to listen to the show outside of Twitter, outside of YouTube, listen to it on 1.5 speed. All of the above are available. We're everywhere. Anyway, we'll
YouTube,
be back.
You can listen on 1.5 speed, just in case you're wondering, Pia. It's just a lot of the people that use YouTube and don't pay for one of the most valuable platforms in the world, like Pia.
I pay for it.
Does oh, you do?
Yeah, I pay for it. It's actually the best.
I don't pay for it.
You got to pay for it. There's so many ads now. You have to pay for it.
Oh, but I just use Brave. It skips the ads.
Oh, interesting. I'm not going to shame people that don't pay for YouTube, though.
Everybody.
Okay.
All right. I just bought YouTube.
There you go. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Some New York.